It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Time aside for our spiritual focus, meditation, and prayer, and all faiths is all welcome. And I happen to be a Christian personally, and I do read out of the Bible, and all my readings are out of a very steady Bible, and you may use any Bible you wish. I'm also using a reference from online, so if you don't have a Bible, it's the Biblia, www.bibla.com, and you can find it there. And I ask that no negativities or arguments are allowed. All we're doing is enjoying our time together and enjoying our spirituality and just being free to express ourselves. And on this wonderful and glorious morning, I'm in Southern California, and I'm telling you, it's beautiful day after day, and I'm so grateful to God for that. And the call-in number, and we are celebrating Father, so you are very welcome to call in and talk about your father today or your memory of your father, or if you are a father, you're very welcome to call in, 619-924-9744. And we air every live every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So let's open church this morning as we bow our heads together and we say a moment of meditation and keep peaceful and say to our Father, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I just want to welcome everybody. I'm so excited. It's Father's Day. My father is no longer with us, but he's now with our Heavenly Father. And I do have a story or two to tell you about him. And I want to go on to say that God bless all you fathers. Being a father is not an easy job, and not all fathers are perfect. But we want to bless you and tell you we're grateful for you. And as most children worldwide, if we know our fathers, I know unfortunately some of us haven't known our father, but if we've known our fathers, we have a tendency to idolize them, and that's why today I feel the same way. My father wasn't a perfect man, but I loved him, loved him, loved him with all my heart. And before we start our talk today, I'd like to say happy birthday to a few of my friends. Robert Rixon is an awesome artist, and he worked for Channel 5 Studios, and he was the master. I used to call him Master Cylinder earlier, but today is his birthday, and he's also a father, so I'd like to say happy birthday, Robert Rixon, and happy Father's Day also. And I'd also like to say happy birthday to Alice Minotaur, Phyllis Gonzalez, and Jody Maxwell, and I wish you all, may all your birthday wishes come true, and you have a very blessed day that you are actually born on Father's Day. That's so cool. And I'll tell you a little bit about Father's Day. Father's Day was established in 1909 by Mrs. John Dodd of Washington to honor her father. And the first Father's Day was observed on June 19, 1910, in Spokane, Washington. So it's been around for 100 years, and we do celebrate the poor fathers. Mother's Day, we seem to go all out and get flowers, buy presents and everything else, but poor dads always end up with a tie. And that's why I thought we'd take a little time and celebrate dads today, because I'm joyful and happy. And even though my dad's not here, I know he's in heaven, and I will talk to you about that again. Okay, again, our call number is 619-924-9744. And I've got the exact address. If you don't have your Bible, you can go online, and this is an excellent site, and I use it for a reference. It's www.bibla.com. And you can put any phrases in there that you want, and or in a word, or anyway, we're reading out of Matthew this morning, 1:18-25, and then we're also going to read out of Romans 8:12-17. And this start right off is that I'm going to start reading out of the Bible, then I'm going to go into my Father's Day stories in just a few minutes. So we're going to start out at 18, and it's the announcement of the birth of our Heavenly Father, Jesus. And now the birth of Jesus Christ, it was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a generous man and righteous, and was not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill and was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God's with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. And I think that as a father, he must have been totally amazed. I have a lot of dreams along the same lines of telling me messages and everything else. And until I read this morning, I realized, the angels were actually coming when people were awake and when they were asleep to give these messages. And we're talking about a very special father. His name is Joseph. And he's the one who raised Jesus. And Jesus is our Messiah. And he's the one who is all our father now in heaven with his father. And I think that's beautiful, and I just wanted to read that. And then the other one would be, let's go over to Romans now. It's Romans 8:12. And let's see here. Romans 8:12, and it's talking about exalted living and being good children and and to please God. And it says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if living according to the flesh, you must die. But of the spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body you live. And all who are being led to the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you will not receive the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption of the Son, which cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself testifies our spirit that we are children of God, and as children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if we indeed we suffer with him, so that we will also be glorified with him. I find that just so beautiful, especially that we are all now sons and daughters of a Heavenly Father, and he has adopted us. And that I find the phrase Abba Father so empowering and beautiful. And as we know that that's what Jesus cried out at the end. And it just means a lot to us. And it's fatherhood, Father, and our loving Father, Heavenly Father, is mentioned so many times in the Bible. And because it's important, because where we all come from, and today we're just celebrating that. And I just want to note that, so a lot of us have not had a perfect father, and or that things have happened and transpired. I don't know what's happened in your life, but my father wasn't perfect, but I've been, something in me has talked about today, a little voice in me has been telling me that forgive your father, just forgive your father. He's a human, and his parents are human, and their parents are human, so they're flawed, and I want to also remind us why we should forgive our fathers, because if we want mercy, we have to have mercy. And I think that your mercy is a beautiful thing, and to be forgiven is such a holy thing. And forgiveness also opens you up to more grace and peace in your life. And it's amazing. It said, So I'm going to read this again because I have a friend in chat and share, and I want to read it again. And the phrase goes in the Way Bible, not to be like clinging, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family. And I think that that is a beautiful phrase. Thank you for putting that version up, because that really clarifies it, that we are all adopted into our Heavenly Father's family, and that we're all siblings, really, and that we all should treat each other good. And I really am quite amazed that you know, we find ourselves here today, because I've had quite a travel in my personal history with my father. I was born, my parents were pretty young. I'm going to tell you the story, and it's pretty funny, but I'll tell you this story that it's fond to my heart now, because, you know, many years have transpired, and I'm an older woman now. I'm a mother, and I'm a grandmother, and I'm also a great-grandmother. And so this story is quite amusing to me. But anyway, my mother is first generation here from Greece, and my dad is actually first generation here from Nova Scotia. And his father was from Nova Scotia, and then on, everybody's from Scotland and Greece. And my parents met in upstate New York, and my mother, oh God, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this, but anyway, my mother ran away to the carnival. And at the carnival, she had a little job. My mother was only 15, and she was very, very protected in the house. And my mother has eight siblings. She had eight siblings, God bless her souls. But she ran away to the carnival. And my mother then was Miss Electra. And she would stand on the platform with a banner that said Miss Electra, and I have pictures to prove this. And she would light up light bulbs and do little electric magic tricks and everything. But anyway, my dad actually was a strong man there, and he would do feats of strength and lay on a bed of nails. And I actually remember the pockmarks in his back from the bed of nails when I was little. They went away eventually, you know, after over the years, but that's where they met and fell in love. And the brothers and everybody found out where my parents were, and they literally were going to kill my dad. But anyway, they got married, and I was born 9 months later, and very happy. I started my adoration of my father, you know, from day one, and I loved him and held him up in such high esteem. And my dad was loud, you know, loud, and my parents fought a lot, and I still idolized my father. I was this kind of kid. I was the kind of kid that would stay at the window. My dad would leave for work, and sometimes he would be gone 3 days at a time because he was trucking. And so I would, as a little, like a little child, would stand up in the window and stay there until my father got home. My mother was so horrified, because I would be there in the window waiting for him hour after hour, and I would just wait for my daddy to come home. And then when he came home, it was really like the king has returned, and I would hang on his leg and follow him around and do everything. My father was so handsome. I have the picture of him on Facebook when he was really young. But my dad was a great singer and dancer, and he swept my mother off her feet, and my parents used to sing all the old standards together and dancing. It was really wonderful watching them. And throughout my life, my dad traveled a lot, and he eventually, my parents, you know, divorced. There was a lot of things I don't want to say that happened, but they eventually separated and divorced, and I started a grief then of missing him and unable to get over it. And I tried to see my father as much as I could. But after the age of, let's say, 10, you know, my father began drinking heavily. And with that drinking, there was a lot of poor choices and a lot of bad things happened and a lot of violence. And it was already starting when my dad was at home. And but it was had escalated to the point where my dad was going to jail and stuff like that just for making some really stupid mistakes. Like breaking in breaking into the house, he thought my mother had locked the door on him, but what had happened is he was at the wrong house, stuff like that, you know. And anyway, it still never dampened my love for my father, but at that point I began to fear my father. And, you know, being raised up, it was difficult. We ended up going back east, and I lived upstate New York. I was born in Boston, and that's where my dad's, all my relatives, and many relatives are still there. But what had happened, you know, as a we were never able to actually have that good talk, or, you know, my dad didn't get to make amends or do any of that. And my father began to be ill, and he had worked very hard. He was a machinist, and he, you know, lost a leg and was unable to work after that. And he kept drinking until the last 10 years of his life, when he finally stopped because he was so sick that he couldn't drink anymore. And he had remarried and had another little half-sister from that marriage. And anyway, my dad finally became very ill. And he had been living in Arizona for 30 years over in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I was here in California, and I wasn't able to go to my father to visit him. And I know my sisters were there, and my dad actually did die there. And I remember when my dad died, I felt like a train just had run through my heart and really broke my heart, because we didn't have that last conversation, and I loved him, but we didn't have any closure or any reconciliation. And I had gone to a lot of, programs and read a lot of books and got a lot of study on how you forgive people and that you, how you write them a letter and things like that. And I had done everything, but, you know, you always have that little loss in your heart, and that it kind of affects your whole life. But anyway, my dad passed away 3 years ago. 3 years after he passed, I was asleep and I was having a dream, and it was my father. My father was young again. He was handsome. He had both his legs. He was probably at the most 30. And I remember my dad when he looked like that, and he was like so personable and handsome, and he was just like that in the dream. He said, "Honey," he said, "I came to talk to you. I want to talk to you about things." And he said he had been sorry for everything, and he had deep regrets about the losses between us and the things that he didn't do. He made complete amends for anything that ever happened. And he said, "And on my deathbed, honey, I was going to make it up to you." He said, "I realized why you weren't there, and I also realized that he had done it himself, and that he loved me so much." And he showed me what happened on his deathbed, and then he said to me, "I love you, and I'm going to see you again." And my dad was in heaven. He was happy, and it was incredible. I can't tell you the healing, and I loved him so much. I said, "Daddy, Daddy, you know, thank you, thank you." And when I just woke up, you know how when you wake up, you're not really asleep, your eyes just pop open, and I opened, my eyes opened, and I could still feel the effervescent bubbles in the air. It was just like you popped a soda pop or a champagne, and the fuzz is in the air. It was just like that, and he was still in the air, and it was like crisp and clean and beautiful and sparkly. And I was just so overwhelmed, and every bad thing that happened. And I was one of those kids that I was very forgiving, but I remembered all these things. You know, I wasn't like a forgetful person. I remember being a baby in my crib, you know, so I remember so much. And it was all due to alcoholism and violence and stuff like that. But the the forgiveness is so complete. My dad's amends was so complete. I have not had a problem since then. It was a remarkable healing. There's no other way to describe it, because when you really healed of something, it's really gone. And all it replaces it is love, and that's all I have left. And I was just so stunned. I called my mother, and I said, Mom, you know, I've got to tell you about something. I had a dream about Dad. And she said, oh, yeah. You know, she kind of brushed me off. And I went, no. I said, I want you to listen, Mom. I said, Mom, remember when Dad was young and handsome, and when he walked into a room, everybody turned around to look at him, men and women. Everybody would turn around and stare at my father because the way he made entry to a room. She said, oh, my God, you know, she's a New Yorker. Are you dreamt about your father was there? I went, Mom, I'm trying to tell you he's there, and he said he's sorry. Did you mean you made up with your father? I went, yes. I said, Mama, it's all peaceful now. It's, you know, all is forgiven. And I just can't even tell you the happiness that I have, and I do wish this for you. And you've got to know there is another life to sign this, that we do have the spiritual life. We will be going to heaven. We will be seeing all those loved ones that we lost, and I'm sure they're going to be there to welcome us. And I feel that, without a doubt, is the way I feel about my father, you know, who's now in heaven with my other father. And I have asked my heavenly father and my father that while you're up there, not only keep an eye out for me, but bring me the kind of man that I need in my life. You know, I finally turned that one over too and realized that God has to do everything for me, and then bring me a nice man. And then I guess with my heavenly father, with Jesus and my dad, I guess, you know, they can bring me to that guy, I hope. And anyway, then there was there's a comment, and I just want to read to you because it's the hurts and experiences that get embedded. This is from someone in our chat. She's talking about she just read about the hurts and experiences that get embedded in our DNA. It adds to the importance of clearing away grudges and find the closure so that we don't pass on those terrible crutches, and that is so true, that we must forgive so that we will be forgiven and that the pain won't continue. We have to have mercy on them. You know, have mercy on your father. If he wasn't perfect, you know, we still have to have mercy, and if we want to be forgiven. And I had made a point of, no matter how angry I was with my children's father, that I would not talk bad about their father or anything else. And it was good because my kids are not bitter at all. And I think that's a beautiful gift that I gave myself, because my kids are leading a big, beautiful life. And I just want to tell you that, you know, despite all this, you know, the violent temper that was really scared me, all that, that's what the residual thing that I have. I do have to be honest about that. I do not like an overly aggressive person or violence. And I have a tendency to fight back, you know, even if I'm afraid, I still will fight back. But let's go back to Joseph. And well, we know about Joseph. Now, he's the father of Jesus, and he's the righteous man who actually stood in and helped raise Jesus. And he was a descendant of David from the village of Bethlehem, and that he was a carpenter, and he seemed to have migrated north from Nazareth, and there became engaged to Mary. And that Mary was only a child herself. But it's kind of amazing that the wisdom, and I know an angel came to Mary too to announce Jesus' birth, but it's just amazing how all of this comes together, that we know that Jesus is alive, and Jesus went to Jerusalem from the age of 12, and that the last mention of him in the gospel occurred years later. Jesus started performing first miracle of the wedding feast of Cana, and his mom was there. And maybe, you know, what they're doing is that I'm looking at this reference that they're saying she maybe had been a widow by then. And anyway, so Joseph's life, he had an important part of the journey, and there was not much said about it. And I'm sure that Joseph that had a personal crisis, but, you know, he had that faith. And you know that it reminds me that we have to overcome everything. And we do have to keep our faith no matter how, I mean, just imagine hearing, well, you know, your wife's going to be pregnant and, you know, you're going to have to be the father and take care of the baby. You know, this is extreme. And especially in the ancient times, and we're talking 2,000 years ago, you know, people could be stoned and killed for things like this. And instead, she was protected, and it's just amazing. And his characteristics show me this is what fathering is about, and what being an awesome husband is about: is caring and seeing, you know, not to having your wife's back, not humiliating her, protecting. And somehow Joseph is, like, to me, a symbol for many fathers, no matter what the circumstance, be a good father. He raised Jesus like his own, and it's really amazing. So I'm just amazed today that we know that both parents can't be there when some children are raised. I mean, this is now turning into the norm, and we do have to keep, to me, the emphasis should be on a positive role model. And if you can't have that father, you know, find a father or a mentor. I've always believed in that. I've always believed in the Big Brothers organization, where I sent my son, and that he was my son. He was actually a child spokesperson for Big Brothers of America, and he found a fabulous, he was assigned with a fabulous Big Brother that really mentor him up into adult age, and they're still friends to this day. And it's just amazing how we can find a way if we're loving and we keep our heart open, and just, you know, just keep it loving. You know, I don't know how else to say this, is that because I'm in one place of knowing the failures of fathering, or if there's an absent father, and on the other hand, experiencing the love from the father, a forgiveness with my father when I had an injury, and also know God is my heavenly father, and that he loves me, and Jesus forgives me. And it's really amazing that how beautiful that all this works together, and then as we become parents, that we realize how important it is. And that today, let's make this, you know, a day of reconciliation with our fathers. You know, let's make up with him, whether he's still here or he's not, or he's passed. Why don't we make this a day of forgiveness? And because let's keep that love. And nobody can take that love of your father away from you. And unfortunately, some of us don't know who our fathers are, because I have a heart for that too. In the business I'm in, many people have never seen their father, don't know who their father is, and have talked to me about it. And also, you know, people close to me have talked to me about never knowing who their father is. But I have reminded them, because I had an epiphany about it, is that God knows who your father is. You know, all the secrets will be revealed. We'll be all together again. You'll be introduced to your father when we're in heaven. You know, that everything will be resolved. All, you know, that's why we have faith, is because we have all these unanswered questions, especially why? Why me? Why am I the one left out? Or why do I not have the loving, awesome father that, you know, my neighbors seem to have? And nobody's perfect, you know, and some of us have never known the type of thing where you had a father help you or help you move or change your picture or go to your, escort you to your little dance or do anything like that. A lot of people have never experienced that, including myself. I've never known what that was, but somehow, by through miracle, that I have always had the presence of my Heavenly Father, the Lord God, Jesus. Always been there to be my father and Jesus, more of my brother and my father mixed in. It's just a feeling that I have. I don't know how you feel about that. But how wonderful today if we could just reconcile with our families and our Father on Father's Day. What a tremendous responsibility that our nation's fathers have. As you think about who you know and love, the Lord, who have the resources to be fathers God wants you to be. And I have many, many clients that have 9, 10 children, and there's no way they can support those kids or do any of that. And I'd have to counsel them on the thing you can do for your children is tell them that you love them and that, you know, you've got to be there in body. Okay, since you can't support these 10 kids, you know, you have to tell them how much they love you, mentor them, go play sports with them, you know, do the fatherly things because they still need you, because they're not going to ask you, where's your money? They're going to say, where are you? And that's the regrets a lot of people have, that when we talk about, you know, having forgiveness, but you also have to have compassion. And as we cry out, you know, when we in the Bible, you know, when Jesus cried out to Abba, my Father, and he was taken in glory to heaven, you know that all everything is for a reason. And that's what we have to remember, too, is that though our lives may be perfect, now I honor people and honor the awesome fathers of the world. And I do. And the ones that are falling short, the human too, is that we have to actually send them love, because as bad as we get mad and feel about that, they feel the same way about themselves, you know, because that's the fathers that I counsel and speak to. They feel really bad about themselves. And believe me, when they get out of prison, they want nothing more than to be a better father and see their kids and make up for everything. Because I think sometimes when they're put away and they're talking and speaking with others, they do have groups that are being run in prison. And they seem to be getting a lot of help from these courses and stuff. And then they come in, and I'm a counselor, and they come with me. And, you know, they all say the same thing. My family matters. My father matters. My mother matters. And I guess it gets down to we start realizing that the perspective on what's important to us, when everything is taken away from you and you're now a prisoner, and the heart of hearts, you know where you went wrong. And you realize I have to come out and be the man I was supposed to be. And that's what they tell me, because most of my clients, almost all of them, are men. I have 3 women and the rest are men. And they tell me the same thing every time, is that they realize that they should be better fathers, that they're going to try, and that they start doing it. And it's so beautiful, because when they first come out, they look kind of, you know, they're stressed out in prison. They come out and they're kind of pale, or, you know, I know that they're working out and everything else, but they have a certain kind of prison look. I mean, they're upset and they're stressed and everything. And then after a little while, I started hearing, I went and played basketball for my son. Recently, I went with my children to their graduation. I'm showing up at school. I'm, you know, all these things are adding to being a better father. And then you just have to stop, because there are people that complain, you know, I don't have any money, I don't know, I can't support my kids, and, you know, they tendency to hide. And for me, I just tell them, no, you have to make daily phone calls. If they're not in the area, make daily phone calls And we all have to do that. This is what we should do. If your dad's still here, I will forgive him right away and start making those phone calls. If he's a totally impossible person, pray for him. You know, it's this is where you came from. This is your genetic makeup. And they kind of mirror us, I think, that when things like this happen in our life, you know, we're being mirrored and shown the way to mercy. And if we want to have mercy, as I said before, if we want mercy, show mercy. Because people aren't perfect. Fathers aren't perfect. And I would love for, everybody. You know, I know there's a lot of good men out there, and they're doing above all. And those people are the heroes, you know, especially, you know, the men that are giving their lives for our country and are going out there and leaving their families behind. And the mom has to do all the fathering, because, you know, my family, there's a lot of the women. And among several of my friends, you know, we're the fathers of the family. And that's a whole nother story. But, it's the role that they take on. I've seen those pictures of those soldiers coming back from the war, and they come and see their baby that was born when they were gone and everything else. It's so touching, you know, that sometimes I just sit there and just cry and just pray for our servicemen. So if you're a dad and you're listening and you're a serviceman, we just want to say happy Father's Day. We're thinking of you. You're not forgotten. I'm sorry that you're away from your children, and that you are in our blessings and our hope. We don't forget about you, and we love you very much, and I know your family is just waiting there for you, and it's really a beautiful thing. And we don't have that much time left in our service this morning, so if you would like to call in and talk about your father, you're very, very, very welcome to 619-924-9744. And, I wish that what we all will do is have better relationships and forgiveness with our father. You can start now. You can start today. And you could start, you know, by actually challenging yourself. And if your father is very elderly, you know, and old, you know, it's time to make amends. And it doesn't mean you're going to get along perfect with him either, because if your father was, my father is not like this now, of course, he's in heaven, but when he was here in his earthly body, you know, he was very aggressive and loud, and I was practically the only one that got to just stay there in the room and withstand it, you know, and it's because I loved him. And just don't take it personal, because I think those kind of fathers are operating from some kind of personal pain. And the fathers that I know about, and my father, he didn't talk about what upset him. I do know that my dad was a hero, and that he actually took my Uncle Louis' ID and took off and went to the war when we were fighting the Nazis. And he was in World War II at 15 years old, and he was out there in Germany, and he saw all the ending of what was happening in the concentration camp and everything. And my dad came back, and he was drinking when he came back. And that may be at the root of what was my father's pain. I know that it contributed. And, let's just keep all the soldiers that have that PTSD and all that, let's keep them in our love and our hearts. And we know that, I know a few young fathers now that have challenges and about their either sick children or anything like that, and I want to tell them that, you know, you're in our prayers and that we love you very much. And I know that you're a great father, and I'm thinking about a couple people, and one in mind that his son is a little boy, he's 10, and he has had 5 open heart surgeries now. That father is just so unbelievably strong and stays in his father's, Dave being a father to his child. And I have another friend, my dear best male friend. We've been friends for well over 30 years. He is always an excellent father, and still now he's an excellent grandfather. But his son was killed in a drive-by, and I'm telling you, for my friend to overcome that, it was amazing, and he actually made his way through it. I mean, it's never totally left you, but it didn't stop him from being a better father, a more enriching father to his daughter, and now he has three grandchildren, and life goes on, and we carry this on through generations as, people are talking chat right now. Somebody said that they bought their father some weights for him, and he laughed so hard, and that it was made her very happy. So she gave a wonderful gift to her father. Her name is Viola Chen, and that's really a beautiful thing. And I'm going to now, let's say, I've already told you my story that I had, because I do have a book, and I have that one story about my dad, and that's going to remind me to write more later. That so I'm going to read you a story about, let's see, about the being homesick. You know, 'cause I have a couple stories that I haven't read yet, so I'm going to talk about that, because it's kind of going off subject a little bit. It's talking about how some of us, aren't comfortable here on this planet. I don't know if we were supposed to be. The Bible reiterates this factor by stating we're never wear this world like a loose garment, and that we are in this world but not of it. And I had spent a lifetime seeking comfort, stability, self-esteem, and esteem of others. This may seem all well and good, but the world point of view sees it, it's a far cry from what God wants from us. Jesus' example shows us, Jesus is being our Heavenly Father, that by giving we receive. By forgetting ourselves, we are found. By giving over our lives, we will find it. And it says, if we struggle to keep the commandments, persisting in the paradise of prayer and cleaving to God through continuous recollection of Him, then God will release you from the self-indulgent proclivities of the flesh, from all sensory impulsion, and from all forms of engraved on your thoughts. So he's talking about how we tend to think, we tend to engrave in our brain. This is from the Philokalia. It's the Philokalia. This is an awesome book if you ever want to read about spirituality or anything. It goes on to talk about how that everything we do with our eternal spiritual life, but that as we occupy our bodies here, and okay, so as we're here in human, we are hurt by these things. And our childhoods, of course, have affected us all, and we all are who we are because of it. And we're also who we are despite it. So remember, to keep strong, to keep forgiving, and realize that you are still a unique you. We did come from a certain set of parents, and they come from a certain set of parents, but you have the opportunity here now to forgive, to show mercy, and to grow, because we can't stay stuck in that childhood state. And that's what I'm reading here. I know that I'm reading this, and it's just reminded me that we can stay a child, and we can keep complaining about our mothers. And then one time I was actually at a group meeting, and there was a woman. This woman had to be 70 at the time. And she went up, and she was actually, she had wheeled her mother in a wheelchair, and her mother was sitting in the wheelchair. So her mother, of course, was at least 20 years older than she was. So her mother was in her 80s. And so she was up there. I remember she was at the podium, and she was, talking and complaining about her mother the whole time. And it could easily be a father, but I'm just telling you. So she herself was elderly, complaining about her mother and how her mother let her down and how this and this and that. And then I looked at the wheelchair, and there's her mother, and then I looked at her, she's old, and I'm thinking, it looks really ridiculous when you're over 70 still complaining about your mother, and she's sitting there in a wheelchair. Have mercy. So it really just teaches you to just have mercy on others. Someday you're going to be old, and you're going to be one of forgiving for all your mistakes as a parent. So we have to pass that. That's the spiritual life, which you start learning, is that, we actually are striving to to be like our Heavenly Father and try to overcome this world, meaning we have to think radically different. We have to overcome what we were taught. Let's say if we're taught in error, we have to overcome that and take responsibility. Okay, so that happened for the first 18 years of my life. For me, I left home very early. I was 15. So, okay, so for the first 15 years of my life, I was stuck at home and I had to listen to my parents. Then what? You know, we all have to grow up and be our real selves and excel and in spite of or despite or whatever, forgive it, and we have to move on and we have to actually work on changing ourselves. And I think if we forgive, that as my other friend in chat was talking about the DNA, if we forgive and just not pass this on to our children, or if we have passed this on to our children, we have to work on making amends and ask for forgiveness so we can change some things. And I realized that it takes a lot of self-inventory, meaning you have to take stock of what you're doing and how you want to change and proceed forth and get help first and then go to your family and then tell them, you know, I'm sorry, you know, that I do want to change, or I believe in change. I believe we can get up the next morning and everything's going to be okay and we're going to be able to change. And I'm going to read you what's one more story is I'm going to tell you a story about my grandfather since he's the father of my father. And my grandfather died when my dad was 15. And he was my grandfather also drank, and he was Scottish, a very firm, extraordinarily strong, very Scottish in demeanor man, very kind of quiet, didn't talk about his feelings much. But when he was angry, he would have this physical violence, and when they were drinking, and they would have violence. But he died when my dad was 15, and I never got to see. I've seen pictures of him, and he looks really typically Scottish. And my grandfather was an ice man, so he hauled ice up and down. Even during the Depression, he was hauling ice, and they didn't do too bad because ice was such a commodity then. Because you got to remember, a lot of people didn't have any kind of refrigeration, so ice was refrigeration. And my grandfather would run up and down the stairs with these blocks of ice on his back, and so would my Uncle Louie, and so would my father. And they would haul all this ice up and down to all the apartments. And back east, you have a lot of stairs. You know, here, you know, we have elevators, but Massachusetts, and there we were in Boston, and we were also in Springfield. A lot of stairs, a lot of buildings. So they're extremely strong men. Anyway, so I've heard a lot of stories about them. And my grandfather actually left Nova Scotia because of a problem he had with his father and his uncle, which is really strange. So this has been going on generation after generation. So I'll tell you about a dream that I had about my grandfather. Now I'm an adult woman, and I'm finding myself in my dream up in Nova Scotia, and there was a near the ocean. There was a like a cabin, but it was built out of stone. It had a thatch roof and everything. And I went up to the little porch, and I just walked in the door, and there was my grandfather. And my grandfather looked just like in his pictures, except that he had a hearth and a fire going, and his kind of face and his gray hair and everything, his face was kind of glowing. And he had a white shirt on, and his sleeves rolled up. And in his arms, he had a little baby. And he began to sing. And he was singing like Gaelic lullabies and singing and rocking. And I looked at the baby, and the baby was me. And my grandfather told me, he said, I've been there since the day you were born. I've been watching over you. And that I love you, and I know about all your hurts and all your accomplishments and everything else. And he says, I'm watching over you. And he kept singing these Gaelic lullabies, and I was so, so stunned by the love that my grandfather has for me. And somebody I never met, but God had willed it that I could see him in a dream. And I just find that I've been given many gifts, you know. I'm very grateful for it. I'm really grateful for God and Jesus and my Heavenly Father. You know, and now, you know, we're at the end. It's been going by so fast this morning. And again, I want to wish everybody a very happy Father's Day. And for your fathers, to spend time with your children. Children, forgive your fathers. Call them. You haven't talked in years, but I'm telling you, just call your dad and say, you know what, I love you. I forgive you. Even if it isn't the type of dad that wants to be forgiven, forgive him anyway, because, you know, someone can be harsh. And for the kind and loving fathers that, you know, some that you have, and you just kind of put them on the back burner, and they've been waiting for you. They're waiting for you all these years. Tell them how much you love that you love them, and they want to know that you appreciate what they've done for you. So, in gratitude, I'm asking everybody just go to your father, and just remember to have mercy. And I just wish you all the best in the world. Happy Father's Day again to all your fathers and all your fathers that are actually not a father yet that are expecting. I want to know, be the father, best father you can be. You know, this is a generation. You're setting up the generations for to eternity. You know, so be good to your kids and be good to your fathers. And just everybody, just try to remember to love and forgive each other. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and come back next week and bring your friends. And we'll have another service at 11 o'clock a.m. And I want to tell my listeners, I really appreciate you listening. I'm very aware, and I'm following how many times we're listened to in archives. I'm not a perfect person, but I'm telling you, I really, really, really appreciate you listening. And it's turning out that my little church service is being listened to hundreds and hundreds of times over. It's like each time, each show is at least played in archives 500-600 times. And I want to know deeply, deeply, to have you in my prayers. I'm so grateful for you and for you listening. And you're just helping this one person keep going. And I love you very much. I want to thank everybody in chat, my dear friends. They're very attentive to me and have been supporting me. And I really want to let you know in closing that God bless and keep you in his loving arms so that you may have the strength to face whatever is ahead. You're never alone. I love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And may your best dreams come true, and may true love live in your heart. Find that love in your heart, and know that love is what it's all about. And message me if you have any concerns or requests for prayers, or if you want to have a topic that you want to bring up for a church next Sunday or the next Sunday. We can always set something up. And if you have a special intention and prayers, please let me know. And I want to tell you, everybody, again, Happy Father's Day. And also, may all your dreams come true, and that you have all your heart's desire. And God bless you guys very much.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.